I'm Kara Keehan, and this is Behind the Bench from AJP Hart & Cerc. Today we'll be talking with Cameron McCarthy and Camilla Wenceslau. They co-authored an article recently in AJP Hart. They're both early career investigators and husband and wife. We've enlisted the help of Jonathan Kirk and Lissandra De Castro-Brosh to interview this dynamic duo. How do they do it all? Let's find out.
Camilla, Cam, how are you today?
Good, Jonathan. Thank you for having us.
I'm good, Jonathan. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're really excited to talk. The concept for the podcast here is that there's going to kind of be two parts to it. One, we're going to talk about the published article and the science that's out there. But really what we're interested in is the story behind the story, which is why we're calling it Behind the Bench, and want the nitty-gritty details from the scientists who actually did the work. So if we could first start off with the paper itself, and could you kind of give us a bit of a summary of what you guys found?
Sure, Jonathan. So the idea of the paper is surrounding autophagy and reconstitution of autophagy in hypertensive rat. The idea is that the aged phenotype is classically viewed as accumulation of damaged macromolecules and dysfunctional organelles. And although waste products are an inevitable consequence of metabolism, multiple systems are devoted to its repair and recycling. And so autophagy is an evolutionarily conserved process for removal of these cellular debris and also to provide micronutrients during times of stress. And so what we observed was that in hypertensive rats, we saw that this process, autophagy, was significantly decreased in arteries. And so therefore, we surmised that perhaps hypertension is a condition of premature vascular aging and that therapeutic reconstitution of autophagy may be beneficial for vascular function.
And Jonathan, and what I found really, really interesting was when we try to improve autophagy in health stage, in this case, in Western animals, we observed the opposite results. So it means that the arteries got really, really bad and stiffer. So which means that in hypertension, the decrease of autophagy was bad and the improve of it. The autophagy activity was important. However, the same treatment for in healthy animals, we observed opposite effect. That was a beautiful data showing how important is the homeostasis.
Hi, this is Lissandra. So I wanted to welcome both Cam and Camilla. I thought the results were really interesting, and I just want to ask your opinion on the idea that increasing autophagy would be beneficial for vascular aging or premature vascular aging. In your case, trehalose that you used to increase autophagy did not improve relaxation in the normotensive animals. Did quite the opposite, right? Increase the stiffness and decrease relaxation. So in your opinion, that means that although this could be used as a therapeutic to reverse premature vascular aging, it should not be used as a preventive measure, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a therapeutic for the vascular function in hypertension, but we would not propose this prophylactically to normotensive people that have predisposition to hypertension or even possibly pre-hypertensives, as they were formerly defined, because of the deleterious phenotypes we observed with the treatment. So spot on.
Personally, I actually really loved the story of the trehalose treatment causing dysfunction in the control rats, in the healthy rats, because the way that the paper itself was structured, it was almost like a murder mystery, you know, where you're dropping little hints as you go along in each experiment where you find this unexpected result where you have the opposite effect that it harms the rat in the trehalose treatment as you go along. So it makes a really nice story, I thought, overall. And I was curious as to at what point, you know, when you were getting the results, when they were coming in, when you're actually collecting the data, you know, the first time you see that, you must have been, is this real? Is this really happening? At what point was there so much that it was convincing to you?
Yeah, it was surprising. It definitely wasn't our hypothesis to begin with, because some of the other literature that have used Trehalose to reconstitute autophagy and other models such as aging, they did not, from our observation, report these sorts of dysfunctions. But as you said, we just kept on seeing worsening phenotypes consistently. And so it's like, we can't ignore this, and we definitely need to report this in our paper. For the reasons that Liz said, we don't want to be giving or promoting trehalose as a prophylactic measure for hypertension. It's definitely something that should be reserved for hypertensive patients only.
And also, I was a little bit disappointed in the beginning of the studies when you start treating the healthy animals with trehalose and SHR, and we didn't observe any change in blood pressure as we expected. And then we start observing first changes in injury in vessels from healthy animals. And then we observe that the arteries from SHR starting getting better, even in no change in the blood pressure. Perhaps if you treat the animals longer, we would observe like changes in blood pressure. But for that time, when you treat the animals, we observed improvement in the arteries from SHR and vascular injuries from arteries from the healthy animal. That's what was the main find from this work.
Okay, wait. This podcast was supposed to be different, right? Not the same old kind of author interview podcast AJP Hart and Cirque has been known for. So when does the story behind the story start? Keep listening.
Thanks, Camila. Now moving on to the story behind the bench. There's a little bird that told us that there's quite the story behind this study. Do you care to elaborate?
Actually, that's the fun part. So when I started working with Cam, actually, I moved from Brazil to Georgia in Augusta to work with Clinton Webb. And was the first time that I met Cam. And I really, really want to collaborate because I needed publications during my postdoc. And Cameron, he just started doing his PhD. And he needed learning Western blot and vascular function. And I offered to him to help him also and to participate in his work as well. And then the first experiment that we performed was Western blot in arteries from SHR animals using animals treated with phyto-like receptors antagonists. And perhaps Cameron can tell you a little bit more about this.
So my thesis project was focused on toll-like receptor 9 in hypertension. For those that don't know, toll-like receptor 9 is located on endosomes. And so I wanted to look at some additional endosomal proteins and vascular tissue from WKY and SHR rats in addition to toll-like receptor 9. So I just thought, well, why don't we just take a look at some representative autophagy proteins? And at this point, I solicited Camilla's help with the Western blots because I absolutely knew zilch at that point about Western blotting. And what we observed was amazing. There was striking differences between WKY and SHR and these representative proteins, and SHR consistently having lower expression compared to WKY. At the time, we weren't quite sure what to do with these data. We therefore put them in our locker, and I continued with my project, primarily looking at activation and inhibition of toll-like receptor 9 and hypertension.
But these Western blots that you two did together weren't just significant for the paper, correct? They hold a special significance for the two of you together?
Putting us on the spot there, Jonathan.
Yes, I think the Western blots actually put us together closer. Cameron and I were starting to know each other better, and was that time that we started to fall in love. And Cameron, do you want to continue?
There is another funny story related to this time when Camilla was teaching me other techniques such as blood draws from rats from the abdominal aorta. So one day she was teaching me, this is before we were together, and So we got the rat open there on the bench, and I've got the needle ready to try and draw the blood. And Camilla's like right in there next to me, like to help guide me, because I'd never done it before. And so she's right there. And so like all of a sudden, like I start shaking, getting nervous, not only because of the technique, but I had a crush, admittedly. And so Camilla then turns to our other friend and goes, does this guy have a problem? Like, he's never going to be able to draw blood shaking like that. And I was like, oh man, it's getting hot. It's getting hot in here. I don't know if I can do this. And fortunately, Camilla, I was able to pull myself together to actually be able to draw the blood. But after that, I decided that perhaps I need to act on this. On this crush a little more, because it's obviously something.
And was after this blood draw that Cameron and I started running together, actually running long distance, ultra marathons. And Cameron and I, we got married in 2015, and we had our daughter, Emma, in 2016, and we're still together.
That's a really great story. Actually, this, in addition to being a podcast, this is actually my pitch to Netflix for a television show about a drama set in a cardiovascular research lab called Matters of the Heart.
Yeah.
So my phone hopefully will be ringing with offers from Netflix. This is really fantastic. I've run a lot of Western blots in my time, and a lot of them have looked like garbage and have been embarrassing, and I would not have wanted to fall in love over some of the Western blots that I ran. So I'm glad your guys has turned out well in both regards.
Yes.
So like I said, I didn't really know what quite to do with these Western blots at the time. Again, my project was focused on toll-like receptor 9 and inflammation and hypertension. But if we fast forward then to like post-marriage, post-birth of our daughter to EB in 2017, I had just graduated my PhD in 2016, and Camilla had recently been awarded a K99, and she happened to be attending EB symposium at that meeting.
Yes, and I saw Thomas LaRocque from Doug Seals Group from the University of Colorado, and they present exactly the same result that Cameron 9 observed for the first time that autophagy was decreased in arteries. In that case, he was studying aging. And then I was surprised that they observed the same, exactly the same data, but in a different model. And then I come back home and I discuss with Cameron and say, Cameron, you do need to continue with that first Western blot, because exactly the same data that Thomas LaRocque and Doug Seals observed. And I think that you can tell the similar story, but in a different model. And I think you are going to get some good data there. And Cameron, do you want to continue?
So at that point, my toll-like receptor 9 project was finishing up, but I was I happened to still be in Clinton Webb's lab because of the aforementioned life events. So then I proposed to the lab that I would like to activate autophagy in SHR using one of the pharmacological agents that Doug Seals' group had used, which was, in this case, trehalose, and which is the subject of our paper.
So tell us a little bit about your current situation. I know you continue this project, you both moved, you have different career paths right now. How's it going?
Yes, that's a good question. So after I got the K99, I started interviewing in different universities, but University of Toledo was the only place that offered a position for me and for Cam, because we were as a couple and it was really hard to get two positions in other universities. So in Bina Joe, that she was the chair of the physiology and pharmacology department from the University of Toledo, she said, no, I really want you guys as a couple here, and Camila is going to have a position as an assistant professor to start the vascular research here, and Cameron is going to be in a position for a postdoc to faculty. It's a transition, and that was I was really really happy and excited that Cameron and I could continue work together. in the same department and also collaborate. And Cameron was also continuing with his studies in autophagy. And recently, he submitted a K99, and I hope that he's going to be a assistant professor soon.
I want us to talk a little bit about this because it's never easy to transition to an independent position, you know, find the right institution to establish your research, start your niche. That can be quite challenging. And it's even harder as a couple, especially with a baby as you two. So for our listeners, do you mind sharing some of the do's and don'ts that you took away from your experience when as a couple you are looking for a job position and one of you as an independent researcher?
Camilla at the time had the grant, so the universities wanted her and I was sort of the tag along, but I was very appreciative that Camilla was willing to go to university that gave me an opportunity, and I was appreciative of being there in the University of Toledo that they expressed an interest in having me even as a postdoctoral fellow, and they had this wonderful position, like Camilla mentioned, the postdoc to faculty transition. So it's like a pre-faculty. I'm not tenure track right now, but I am on a pathway towards independence.
So Liz, I think that was a good question. And my suggestion for the listener is that, please, if you have a husband or wife that work in the same area, if you're going to an interview as a young professor, young investigator, you should tell about your family, your life, and your husband as well. Please do not hide this, because it's really important when you open and you tell them that your husband or wife also need a position, and it's important to negotiate. And for me, that was fundamental, because some universities, they didn't care about Cam. And I knew that Cameron had potential to be a professor as well, because based on his CV, on his career, and I didn't want to take this from him as well. So some chairs, they were open to listen to me about Cameron, and some, unfortunately, not. But Bina, she was really open, and she agreed with me that it was important give a position for Ken and an opportunity as well, so we could work together and continue our research independent, but also collaborate. And I think that was, for me, work together with Ken make me stronger and also make the life easier, because our daughter, so we can share, discuss about our work and also our daughter as well during the day to have a break. One thing that I think is a little bit difficult for us is when you go to conference, for example, American Heart or Council on Hypertension or Experimental Biology, and we should go together and don't have people to help us to look at our daughter. So right
this
now,
this is especially because we're both internationals as well, without local family as well, adds to that pressure.
Yes. So right now, I'm really happy that American Heart, for example, they offer like a daycare for parents. And that was, I think that's going to be really helpful for us and make our lives easier.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movement for lots of scientific conferences to begin offering these really critical services to make sure everyone can participate. And Camille, I just want to also say I agree with you, your comment about making sure to bring up if you have a spouse looking for something. I was on a search committee here at my university where there was a woman that we really wanted to hire, and we didn't know that her husband was looking for work as well. And he had applied, but had a different last name, and he was on our short list, but we hadn't gotten to him yet. So we missed out on her and both of them, when if, you know, she would have mentioned that, we would have been happy to try and accommodate it. We would have been able to get both of them and been really thrilled about that. But we just didn't know, and we missed out because of it.
And it's worked out really well. Like, I joined Dina's lab as a postdoctoral faculty fellow, and my training in the vasculature from Clinton's lab from my PhD, I can collaborate with Camilla as part of Bina's lab, and it's a really integrated department, and there's a lot of collaboration going on, and it's been very fruitful for everyone involved.
So age brings more than just stiffer arteries. It also hopefully brings wisdom. So if you could go back to 2012, when we kind of started this story of this study, and give yourselves a piece of wisdom, what would it be?
Well, I'm not sure. Perhaps I wouldn't change anything. I would not, because I think that the way that worked was good for me. I don't know. What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, definitely. Professionally and personally, I'm very fulfilled. This worked out really great. I get to work with my spouse every day. I get to do a job that I really love. I definitely wouldn't change anything.
Well, I have a piece of advice. Do not try to draw blood from aortic veins when you have a crush on your top.
That's true.
That's a solid lesson.
Well, but even though, in my defense, it still worked out okay.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that really the journey is the reward, and don't try to cheat yourself out of that, because there's a lot of great experiences you can have.
Agreed.
Yeah, and be willing to collaborate and work with your lab mates. That's how it worked out well for us. We were both joined the lab at the same time. We were wanting to collaborate and help each other out, and we ended up getting a lot more than just manuscripts.
Agreed.
I have another question. So you both knew you wanted to get independent faculty positions at a research institution. And back when I was a graduate student postdoc, that was my ambition as well. But, you know, you look out at the field and you see this is pretty competitive. There's not a lot of positions available. And there's a lot of people who are interested in them. Moreover, for a couple, it's even harder. So I know that I personally had a backup plan if I couldn't find anything. Did you guys have a backup plan? And if so, what was your backup plan?
Yes, my plan was if I would be successful in my work, I would do my best to support Cam. And then if he wouldn't be successful as well, I think I would try to not change areas, but perhaps back to Brazil in my case, or even to New Zealand to continue with research, because I love so much doing research and science. I don't think I would change area, but I would try to change our universe or our country.
We've agreed for now that we want to try and make it in the United States. We feel like professionally it's got awesome opportunities, and we wanted to raise our daughter here. But we did contemplate Brazil for a while, and Camilla's always openly stated that New Zealand sounds like a great place to go. My contingency plans would be, my undergraduate is teacher education. So if research didn't come through, I'd like to continue in the higher education setting. I very much like teaching and helping people learn. So that was my backup plan professionally.
Well, your backup plans were both better thought out than mine. Mine was to sell handmade leather wallets on Etsy.
Hey, I've seen your handmade wallet. It was really beautiful.
I think I could have made it.
Yeah, I think you could have made it too.
Are you going to see if I stole it, EB, Jonathan?
That's not a bad idea. We're going to see how this Netflix series comes through first to see whether I need another backup plan.
I'm not sure if Jonathan has a future in either content streaming or fashion, but I'm absolutely certain our guests were having a great time during this interview. Our editor-in-chief, Irv Zucker, was listening into this discussion and chimed in with his typical comedic charm. Then things went a little sideways, but we pulled ourselves together in the end.
I just want to also
what
say,
did you think?
You guys did a great job.
Oh my gosh,
and
right.
Cam, if it makes you feel any better, I still shake when a beautiful woman is looking over my shoulder.
Yeah. Thank you.
And it was like this time of the year in Georgia, so it's cool, but it's not like super cold. And but I had dressed like that day really warm, like I'd worn a sweater and I had my lab coat on, and all of a sudden like she's like right there. I've got a lot of pressure on me to get this blood from treated rats, and it's like, oh my god, it's so hot in here. Do this. And then she turns around and says, ask our colleague and friend if I have a problem, like no pressure.
Oh my
You're shaking so bad. Oh my gosh. Okay,
I was a first year graduate student. Have some
poor thing.
Yeah.
Have some sympathy.
Oh, that's great. No, I'm really happy. You know, I'm thrilled that of our selection of starting off with the two of you guys, because it was just great.
Oh my
you were
gosh.
Great.
Thanks
perfect.
For having us.
Thank you, guys.
Cam and Camila, I really want to thank you for joining us. It was a great experience to hear about your story and to learn more about your science.
And we'll see you next time behind the bench.